Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And before we go to my guest, money. This is at the root of all of it. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good, Earl. How are you doing?
I need you to, you know, kind of help us go through this minefield called the state budget and the revenue sharing and the sales tax and all. Where are we at, Dr. Craig? What's happened?
Well, I don't want to be negative. You need a little uplift, so
no.
I'll give you some positive. But it's hard to put a positive spin on what the Legislature's Joint Finance Committee did yesterday. So as expected, because they are a gerrymandered legislature that is not publicly accountable, because they don't really face threat of if they violate public opinion, if they do what the public doesn't want to do of losing their reelection, they stripped virtually everything good from Governor Evers's state budget. So that was all done yesterday, as expected. So that means that we have to, we're not going to be able to fight to get it in. We need to fight to get it in and put pressure on the Republicans, but they're not likely to listen. We've already, been through that. But that's necessary in order to build public support, build pressure. But the governor has strong constitutional powers, as they do. They get to write the budget. He decides whether to sign it or not, and he has a very strong line of veto that allows him to do things such as take out whole parts of the budget, take out the parts they want, strategically in order to force them to the table in order to negotiate over his priorities. And he hasn't done that the first two cycles for the most part. And we think he needs to do it now, but there needs to be a lot of public involvement and pressure on the Republicans to make Governor Evers feel supported and have wind in his sails. I have heard rumors. We're about to pressure him for it. We're having a press conference right after your show ends today to push for the governor to use strategic vetoes to force the Badger Care expansion back onto the table, because we have that ridiculous, dangerous coverage gap, and we're one of now only 10 states that have not taken the extra money to include more people in their state Medicaid program in Wisconsin.
And so what's their rationale for not accepting something that is just unconscionable to turn this down? Is it still that, well, they're going to give this to us one time, and then we've got to figure out a way to come up with revenue for the rest of it?
We're losing money on the deal. We're the only state doing it. There's no public policy sense to this whatsoever. Even Republican candidates for president, when they come to Wisconsin, have been confounded on what we did. So they have what amounts to Tucker Carlson-style rationalizations. They don't really have policy justification. We pay much more to cover fewer people. That's the situation. we are turning down $2.2 billion in this two-year budget to cover more people on BadgerCare that comes from the federal government. And we are costing ourselves an extra $1.6 billion in our general state coffers that we could use for anything, shared revenue, schools, mass transit. So it's a $3.8 billion cost if you look at the healthcare money left on the table and the extra cost to us. No other state does this. And so does it this way. Of the 10 that don't do it, they don't do it this way. So they say things such as they're not going to expand welfare. That's what Assembly, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Mark Bourne, said. They say it causes dependency if people have access to BadgerCare, which is absurd. It's actually the opposite. Where a woman is from Eau Claire is going to tell the story. She is a child care provider. This is on our at our press conference later today, later this morning, that she is a child care provider, and she turns down hours when her clients desperately need more child care because she needs to stay under the low BadgerCare limit so she can have health care. So she is impoverishing herself, staying under the poverty line when she doesn't have to, denying a vital service people need. People need child care so they can work, right, and support their families, simply because of this partisan decision that's about we're not going to do it because it's something that it's a Democratic thing and it's a, and the Affordable Care Act was Democratic and Governor Evers wants it and therefore we're not going to give him a victory. The public is 75% for this, Earl. So if the governor chooses top priorities like that, like full public education funding, like shared revenue, what he can do is he can make this debate about very popular issues and reveal more clearly to the public what they are doing and what side they are on. What they're trying to do is they're trying to do it in the dark of night, so to speak, metaphorically. They right. released their plan Friday at 3 p.m. You don't do that if you want public attention. They don't want public attention. And then they did it in 500, I believe, over 500 motions yesterday at a Joint Finance Committee. Almost none of the public is going to watch because they're trying to hope, they're hoping people don't notice. So this is an authoritarian mindset. And the only way to get at it is to force it into public view. And the governor has the power to do that. He could veto things vital to them, like the entire voucher budget. They'd have to come to the table and negotiate over those other big-ticket items that are widely popular, and the public would then be focused on them and their obstruction and their ridiculous, unpopular and irrational arguments for not doing these things.
You know, Dr. Craig, they beat their chests and said, well, we cut 500 or more initiatives out of the budget immediately. So, that just tells you that nothing. So how much time did they spend on any of those 500 initiatives, Dr. Craig, if they could do it that quickly, that soon? It clearly tells you that this has nothing to do with anything other than we have the power to rewrite the budget, and we're going to rewrite it. So there was no purpose or point in the governor creating the budget in the first place. That's happened repeatedly, Dr. Craig, since Scott Walker has been gone.
When I say they're authoritarian, let me be more specific. They'd already made this decision.
Right.
Right. They went through the charade of public hearings in four places around the state, some of them hard to get to locations. I was up in Minocqua last week for that one. The public testimony was overwhelming. They overwhelmingly, the biggest as it usually is, they heard witness after witness want full public education funding as proposed by the governor. They then heard witness after witness on the need for much more shared revenue in the state doing what it is supposed to do, what's part of its social contract, to share the state revenue with localities because they don't have much revenue authority in Wisconsin, unlike a lot of other states, most other states. And they heard repeatedly on BadgerCare expansion. They heard repeatedly in Minocqua, and they heard no opposition on BadgerCare expansion. I don't know. I didn't watch every minute. far as I know, there was not a single witness against BadgerCare expansion. So they're not listening to the public. You watch them during the testimony. They're clearly not listening. It's all a charade, right? And who they really respond to is not only their own biases and prejudices, because they are extremists, but their donors, the big lobbyists, right? That's who they are listening to, and that is their constituency. And so it is a sign of the decay and the threat to democracy that you have legislators don't understand what the role of a legislator is, which is actually to try to represent the public interest and public opinion and to get to the bottom of it, sift and winnow, and come up with good public policy that advances public policy. Their only legitimacy, Earl, is in doing that. Otherwise, they're just teapot authoritarians.
You know, Dr. Craig, their constituents, and you said their constituents are the big donors, but they have another constituency that put them in office. The big donors did not go and vote for them. The average citizen went and voted for them. How do we get the average citizen to understand what it is they're doing? Because that's who they're hurting.
Well, I think our side, which is the whole Democrat coalition, needs to clarify issues for them more. I think that this is all getting swept under the rug, and a lot of people don't cover state issues. I mean, follow it, right?
Right.
There's not a lot of news coverage of it, right? It's very limited. So if you have a budget impasse, if the governor strategically vetoes a number of the things Republicans have to have and forces a budget impasse, Then there's focus, then there's the controversy, right? Then there's the focus on the issues he's vetoing over, right? And then that begins to get the public, at least educating the public. Then we need more of the public to be involved and take action, because it's both educating the public and it's the active part actually putting pressure on the system. And that's how democracy works and has to work. If people are passive, then, of course, democracy can't function, Earl. But the first step is that the public needs to at least know what's going on. And it's our role to make that clear by, in this case, creating the public drama that will clarify the situation.
So,
at this
Dr. Craig,
you
got to hold the thought, Dr.
No
Craig. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Bill, I'll see you. We'll be right back. Us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the job. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Great show, as always, Earl. Say, you touched on something that's really important. The voters got them there. So how do we get the voters to understand how they're being played like a fiddle? And that's exactly what they're doing to those voters. They're playing them like a fiddle. They tell them about tax cuts, this, that, and everything else, and there's only a handful that benefit from their decisions. But their meat and potatoes voters, they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get even, and I can't say for sure, but like this controversy over Bud Light, I think they got paid like a fiddle. The Anheuser-Busch stock is not crashing, folks. It's not crashing. I talked to an investor the other day. He said, I think we ought to invest in that. He said because it'll take maybe a minor hit, but it'll go right back up because now it's on everybody, the tip of everybody's lips, and I'm actually having fun with it. To my Republican friends, I say this bud is for you. You know, I they were played, I think, even on that. You can't tell me marketing didn't know that wouldn't attract attention. They knew that.
Hey.
They knew that. But let's cut to the chase. The actual voter and what Robin Voss and his collection of clowns are doing, they aren't working like they should. You know, they think people should work. If they're going to take welfare, they need to work. Well, I believe they take welfare. Robin Voss does, but he doesn't need to work. He gavels in, gavels out. Okay, we'll pay you for the gavel in and the gavel out, and that's it. That's all, because that's all he's working for the taxpayer. You and your whole team on Civic Radio are doing a fantastic job of educating people. They're not really you don't want to vote for these people.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. You know, part of this is, you know, you hear people and what moves them. So the Republicans are talking about welfare benefits. You know, they did away with welfare, Dr. Craig. How long ago did they do away with welfare? But they still are using that to get people to somehow believe that these handouts of on, you know, like welfare 20 years ago, when many of us agree it was ridiculous, that has been ended how long ago, Dr. Craig? But still, they use that catchphrase and people buy into that.
I mean, you might as well have a much better social safety net. Moderate Democrats like Bill Clinton were wrong in their political projection. They thought they would take the issue away from Republicans. You'll notice the issue doesn't have to be true for them to use it.
That's correct.
And they're just going to make it up if they need to, and that's throughout American history. That's not new. So the idea that this is about policy, like the immigration debate is about immigration policy, is a misunderstanding. They're you finding divisive issues in order to hold power. And the corporate elite, the billionaires, have deliberately polarized the country for their own purposes and therefore grab most of the economic gain of the last 40 years as a result. It's working for them very well and not working for everyone else. So to the caller's point, I don't want to underestimate the extent the rigged maps make this harder. Since they polarized the electorate, there are very few ticket-splitting voters. It used to be 20% of the Wisconsin electorate. Now it's about 5%. That's the great research of Craig Gilbert of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And that means if you have a big enough partisan margin in a legislative district, it is unwinnable. It used to be that you could win a legislative district if you were in a district where the other party had a 10% advantage over your party, if you were a better candidate. Now it's much narrower. It has to be 3-4 points, 5 points at most, or you can't win no matter what you do. And so that's why they feel insulated from public opinion. I do want to point out, though, that they have to be aware, and some of them are too clueless to be aware, this is the Republican legislature, that we won the state Supreme Court race, and there's a likelihood that fair maps are going to be implemented. And they all have to be on their mark more that they don't know what district they'll be in, and they could be in a competitive district in the next election. So I think that they've gotten used to being not having to worry.
Right.
So that's why this budget is a huge opportunity. The other opportunity here is that we have the $7 billion surplus. And I've heard from some Capitol staff, not heard it from the governor's people directly yet. I'm trying to get a conversation with them, that the governor feels more emboldened to do major vetoes because he has the $7 billion surplus. And so I hope that's true, but I think that if he can strategically pick out the popular big issues, I think there's an issue we haven't talked about that I don't think he's going to do because it's the first time he's introduced it, but would be dynamite, both in terms of its impact on our society and in terms of public support, paid family medical leave.
So, Dr. Craig, hold the thought. We've got to go to a quick break. Karina, we'll come to you too. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. On the line, Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig. Let's go to the phone lines at Karina. Good morning, Karina. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. It feels like, and I completely agree, but there are all the issues and all the referendums, what they run for just fiction purposes, because it feels like even marijuana. Okay, fine. You're saying that you can do legalize marijuana in Madison. Well, let's legalize marijuana in Wisconsin and Milwaukee County, and then take all these taxes to Milwaukee County and make our own money. If this is a problem, and as much money we receive, yes, this gentleman was talking about previous days, 48%. But we receive 48% of out of 100 we give to the state. So it is ridiculous even to think about that you wouldn't give more money to the main breadwinner in the state. So for our legislation in the Capitol, it's just a board game. All these referendums. Oh, we did ask people. Yeah, but we didn't do this because people don't know what they want. Then why are you asking? This is really degrading a process to a whole Wisconsin people. So that's my idea. So let's make marijuana legal in Milwaukee County.
Hey, Karina, let's let Dr. Craig respond. Dr. Craig?
So let me just ask Karina, you wouldn't do it statewide, which is the governor's budget, and what's happened in Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, the states that touch Wisconsin. You'd only do it in one county?
Karina?
Yes, I would like to have it for everybody, but the thing is, we already had like two referendums, and majority of Wisconsinites said, yes, we want recreational and medical marijuana in the state, and Republicans completely ignore, yet somehow, somewhere, it is legal in Madison. So if it's legal and one city can make it themselves legal out of whole state, then if they don't want to do it for a whole state and they have such a problem with Milwaukee County not giving enough or asking for more all the time, then let's do this. We're gonna get marijuana in the stores in Milwaukee County and have all these taxes going straight to Milwaukee County instead of going to the Capitol and use the money for us. It's a good chunk of money.
Dr. Craig?
I mean, it would make some sense if their actual concern is, you know, the parts of Wisconsin that don't want legalization of marijuana. that probably actually aren't. That's another example of them being out of step with the views of even their own voters, even in gerrymandered districts. But you could go to a local option where, you know, an area like at Milwaukee County or Dane County or Eau Claire County, you know, Brown County, if they pass the referendum, then they could do it. And I like Corinna's idea a lot, that Milwaukee keep the revenue. Since Milwaukee is starved for revenue, of the major cities in the country, we have the least revenue authority of any, and the state is supposed to be sharing its revenue with us, and Republicans and gerrymandered legislature refuse to do so. They're the cause of the financial crisis here in Milwaukee. I do want to point out, she's right, Corinna, that they complain all the time that Milwaukee asks for too much. Milwaukee sends more tax money out of Milwaukee than it gets back. It's actually the rural counties that net are receivers of revenue. So we do need to be aware that's another big lie that Republicans are telling that's just not true. Milwaukee doesn't even get its fair share, and it has the largest areas of concentrated poverty in the state and needs more and has more kids in special ed than anyone else, and it's not getting the funding to help educate those kids.
So Ken from Sturgeon Bay, did you hear that? What Dr. Craig just said, because you keep calling here giving statistics that, you know, I don't know where you get them from, maybe conservative talk radio, but they're not true. You know, Dr. Craig, your thoughts on the 2% sales tax, why are the Republicans now willing to have this conversation and the conversation at the county level?
Well, they're going the opposite direction of Corinna here, because they're allowing Milwaukee, they're proposing to tax itself further, right, with a regressive tax. Low-income people pay a much higher percentage of the sales tax because most of their income goes to necessities that are taxed, right? Whereas wealthier people, they've already covered their necessities. There's only so much you can spend, right, on yourself. And therefore, that more of theirs is an income tax or capital gains tax if they make their money through investment. So they're giving us the right to expand a regressive tax, which is not the best option. But if that's what's necessary, you can't have the city and the county governments running out of money and not meeting their obligations and not fulfilling basic services. But in return, they are demanding. They're saying that Milwaukee is going to have to do a lot of things they want that the people of Milwaukee don't want, that we're going to have to maintain a certain number of police officers that they've decided, not the city and not the people here, that we cannot expand the HOP, the very popular trolley that is too small in terms of its range right now, that's only in downtown Milwaukee, which is not their decision. And what does it have to do? We're taxing ourselves, and they're telling us what we can do. They're taking away all home rule. They don't believe in local control. And they're demanding we put cops in schools, which we don't want to do and does not make schools safer. And we learned that in Uvalde. Resource officers are not effective in stopping mass shootings whatsoever. What is much more progressive approaches like restorative justice programs.
You know, Dr. Craig, the arrogance to tell the people in the city of Milwaukee that we know what's best for you, and we'll dictate, and with a nastiness, you don't know what to do with money, so we're going to tell you what to do with money. You know, we'll give you this money, but you'll do it our way. You know, you're going to have at least another 100 police or law enforcement officers there. Well, it's pretty clear to me, Dr. Craig, that many of those people at the state level, the police unions across the state, have their ear. Not the people, right? Not the citizens of the cities, but the police unions. And they're lackeys for the police unions. And then to dictate again, well, if you want these resources, this is what it's going to cost you, and you'll do it our way. Isn't that something unacceptable about that, Doc? I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
They have us and have our leadership under a barrel. But that doesn't mean that you don't make it clear to them, we see what you're doing.
We've spoken about this many weeks, Earl. They use all their power. So they're doing it because they can do it, right?
Yes.
And that's why the governor needs to use all his power. He has tried everything for over 4 years to work with them. He would love to have bipartisan discussions and compromise. Otherwise, he is allowing them to run the state and run the state into the ground and Milwaukee into the ground. Milwaukee doesn't aspire to dictate to Pewaukee, right? To dictate to New Berlin or West Bend, very red places. But they apparently want to dictate to Milwaukee because these are the legislators that are demanding this. And quite frankly, it's the authoritarian mindset I'm talking about, which is threatening democracy. George Lakoff said that conservatives think in terms of a strict father model. That is to say, the strict patriarchal white male father is just to be obeyed, and that leads to a just society. But they're not our daddy, to quote
yes.
Local lingo here.
You know, Dr. Craig. Yes, you know. Well, I'm gonna bring Ken back from Sturgeon Bay, Dr. Craig, because he seems to have some statistics where he got them from, Lord only knows, but he keeps retorting these statistics that you have refuted.
Maybe he'll tell us, because I'll tell him where I got mine.
All right,
he tells
go ahead,
me where
Ken.
He got his.
Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, gentlemen, is it the Republicans' fault that two Walmart stores are closing down in Milwaukee?
Listen, we're not talking about what are those statistics that you keep retorting about Milwaukee getting 41%? What are those numbers you
back Google.com money.
And it says what?
46% Milwaukee gets state funding.
Ken, I consider myself a pretty well-educated person and a good researcher, and last time you brought this up, I spent over a half hour Googling, and I could not find this statistic you speak of.
I will get the email. Next time I call, I'll make sure I have it.
So what were the numbers so Dr. Craig could hear that you've been spotting?
46% of state funding goes to Milwaukee County. I'm talking all the programs for disadvantaged, everything. It's 46%. Crunch the numbers. Any rate, how come two more Walmart stores are closing around in Milwaukee? Is that the Republicans' fault again?
What does that matter?
Why? It doesn't matter. You know how much revenue Walmart brings in? The jobs?
So what is your
instead
point?
The point being, Earl, instead of focusing on the Republicans, thinking everything's their fault, maybe look at yourselves.
Well, so
why are these stores closing down? Why is Walmart?
Well, it's not profitable.
Why is that?
Hey, so, Ken, let me say this to you. Dr. Craig is a well-educated man who spends his time and his resources Dr. Craig, Citizen Action. All over the state, these people are organized. They do research, and so they're engaged dealing with the political realities of what happens in the state. They know what's going on. And Dr. Craig, you know, when part of this is, here's a man who lives in Sturgeon Bay who claims to know everything there's to know about the city of Milwaukee, and he continues to keep pushing, you know, these. These things that aren't true, but he believes that. And this is what the problem is, Dr. Craig. Unfortunately, many places across the state, how can you argue with a person who hasn't spent any time in Milwaukee, but he knows everything there's to know about Milwaukee?
Well, the mindset is just looking for a rationalization for what they already believe and want to believe, right?
Right.
This isn't really a debate. I don't even know the source you provided. Okay, it's google.com something.
Yes.
That's not a think tank. That's not an expert. And it's also, I understand his data now. He's talking about percentage of revenue Milwaukee County gets. Well, this is where the people are.
Yes.
And where a lot of, and of course, more transit money comes to Milwaukee than comes to Sturgeon Bay. But I actually think Sturgeon Bay should get more transit money. Sturgeon Bay, at least one person in Sturgeon Bay doesn't agree. But my source on Milwaukee's sends more of its tax revenue out of Milwaukee to the state, to other parts of the state, than it gets back. My source for that is Catherine Kramer, the political scientist at UW-Madison, award-winning, who wrote a brilliant book called The Politics of Resentment, which is about the rural-urban divide in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and she debunks the idea that rural areas...
Dr. Craig, we got to go to... Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go to Gene and Eau Claire. Hey, Gene, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Wow, thank you so much for your show. I had a call in on this because it's the first time I've heard anybody bring up George Lankoff. Neuro-linguistic programming. I have been watching this, documenting this throughout our state, particularly in my area toward Eau Claire, because I noticed happening significantly during the Walker administration. It started in the morning. Remember when they were pressuring NPR? You know, because they weren't broadcasting things the way that they wanted it done. There was threats to kick them out of their studio or where they were located. And I noticed messaging starting early morning, then through all the different stations of the Republican-owned stations. They'd always have a message. They'd have several callers on that particular message, and it would be like... right to work, you know, the right to work law, teachers getting paid too much and they only worked a few hours. And, you know, and I started talking to people in the community and I'd say, you know, they'd say these, they'd repeat these statements back and it would be exactly what they heard on the radio, but they had no justification. They had no reasoning for it. And then I thought, wow, you know, because my background's psychic, I'm thinking to myself, isn't anybody picking this up? So I started researching and I found George Lankoff and I thought, whoa, this is what's going on in our state. Because people are believing everything that those Republicans are saying through magnitude of voices saying the same statements time after time.
Hey, Gene, I wish we had more time,
but
we don't. Thank you very much. Let's go to CJ. CJ, quickly.
Thank you, Earl. It's sad to watch. If you think money's the only problem for the city and the school systems of Milwaukee, 93%, the dropout program, 93% of white students graduate. 54% of the young black community graduate from high school. 77% of American Indians and 69% of Hispanics. Until you solve the education and attitude problem of not educating the young youth of Milwaukee, this is going to be an ongoing issue. It's not about money. It's about the family structure, no fathers in the homes. And
CJ, you're still beating the same drum. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that?
Sure, yes. So CJ has offered up the same tired conservative talking points, and they function very much like Gene just described. Great caller ahead of CJ there on George Lakoff and how this actually works. So you see, it wields power. It comes from the elites, from rich people, and then CJ wants to believe it. This isn't based on research. This is a rationalization. We if it's not about the money, why, when you look at Milwaukee, is there is our class system color-coded? Why is the poverty rate and the income rate and the wealth and the amount of, you know, assets people have, why is it determined based on race? And we have, why do we have the worst race, black-white disparities of the 50 largest metro areas? It's because of the structure of our economy and the system. So you're taking kids from deep poverty, right? And poverty damages you. It damages you as a young person. Then we're giving them substandard education in terms of the resources, not the great teachers. Look how we have aging schools. They're mostly built before 1940, all new schools out in the white suburbs. And then we're going to praise the kids, the middle class and upper middle class kids in white suburbs for doing better in school. It's just outrageous. It's absolutely about the amount we spend on kids, and it's also about the conditions we impose on kids. And it is, this is what I'm giving you specifically, what structural racism is. And we have a right wing right now that's trying to ban the concept of structural racism. They're saying that there is no such thing. Whereas the, look, the only other alternative, Earl, really, once you get through these talking points, is believing that that racial inferiority is still a thing, that there's a biological difference, which we know there is not. We're all very close cousins.
You know, Dr. Craig, man, the time just flies. What? So, your thoughts? What's going to happen with these discussions at the state level? With resources to Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, what are your thoughts?
It's hard for me to predict because it really depends on what the governor is willing to do. I think there's a pathway to get a much better budget, but it requires, unfortunately, Governor Evers standing up to the bullies.
So let me.
Otherwise, the bullies will win again. And I know he doesn't want to, that he wants to have a be an adult and find common ground. He doesn't have another party for doing that.
So, Dr. Craig, so the county executive and the mayor of the city in negotiations, that's not the governor. That's the negotiations that they're having. Will they have some impact? And what do you think winds up happening on their levels?
I mean, they have impact, but they're also hostages, right? So I saw David Crawley, a wonderful man, the Milwaukee County executive on Upfront, the news show, and it felt like he was, you know, on a hostage video trying to make sure that the county wasn't further harmed by the people who'd taken us hostage. So, and I understand why he feels that way, because he doesn't have control of this. I think Governor Evers has the veto pen. David Crawley and Cavalier Johnson, the mayor of Milwaukee, do not.
You know, Dr. Craig, we're going to have the county executive on either today or tomorrow. And you know, we sit back, Dr. Craig, and we've watched this before these young men got into office. And now, you know, the state is willing to negotiate, or they say they are. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that, Robin Voss tries to sound like he's looking for bipartisan compromise when he basically, you know, provides a terrorist notice to what their demands are if they're going to otherwise, drive the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee into bankruptcy.
Dr. Craig, thank you as always, my friend. I really appreciate it. It goes too fast. We'll see you again on next Friday. Next Wednesday. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.